So today we are reading from chapter 3, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text 7 and text 8. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading text 7. Yastu indriyani manasa niyam arabhate arjuna karmendriya karma yogam asaktah sa vishishyate. And purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. On the other hand, if a sincere person tries to control the active senses by the mind and begins karma yoga in Krishna consciousness without attachment, he is by far superior. Purport. Instead of becoming a pseudo transcendentalist for the sake of wanton living and sense enjoyment, it is far better to remain in one's own business and execute the purpose of life, which is to get free from material bondage and enter into the kingdom of God. The prime swarth gati, or the goal of self-interest, is to reach Vishnu. The whole institution of Varna and Ashram is designed to help us reach this goal of life. A householder can also reach this destination by regulated service in Krishna consciousness. For self-realization, one can live a controlled life as prescribed in the Shastras and continue carrying out his business without attachment, and in that way make progress. A sincere person who follows this method is far better situated than the false pretender who adopts showboating spiritualism to cheat the innocent public. A sincere sweeper in the street is far better than the charlatan meditator who meditates only for the sake of making a living. So we'll discuss this verse and then we'll discuss the next verse. Yeah. So, as you know, last few days we have been discussing chapter 3rd Bhagavad Gita, which is entitled Karma Yoga. And some of the very important principles are taught in this chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Karma Yoga. Sometimes when we go and distribute Bhagavad Gita outside, so when we go and tell people, buy this Bhagavad Gita, so they say, oh no, how can we buy Bhagavad Gita? Because the front picture of Bhagavad Gita is Arjuna is fighting, you know, on the battlefield. Yeah, maybe that picture is there. Yeah. Anyway, this picture is here that Krishna and Arjuna are standing on the battlefield. So that picture, it looks that Bhagavad Gita is teaching us how to fight. So many people do not buy Bhagavad Gita thinking that if we bring Bhagavad Gita at home, everybody at home will start fighting. So we do not want to buy Bhagavad Gita. Another important thing to note in Gita is Krishna is teaching Arjuna the principle of non-violence, ahimsa. So one has to understand that Krishna is teaching Arjuna ahimsa is a very good quality. Ahimsa is a divine quality. There is divine and demonic qualities. So harshness or anger is a demonic quality, and ahimsa or non-violence is a divine quality. So Krishna is telling Arjuna, you should cultivate ahimsa. And what is the final thing? You should go and fight. So, it may appear that Krishna is a very duplicitous person or diplomatic person. The whole Gita is talking so many times, ahimsa, 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 ahimsa. And then he says, fight. Violence. Get up and fight. Atishta uttishta Bharata. Yuddhaya krita nishchaya. Come on, make a decision to fight. So it may appear that Krishna is teaching duplicity or duplicitous behavior. There is a cheating there. For the purpose of teaching, he is telling ahimsa. But when it comes to battlefield, he is telling what he wants. Now you go and fight. So what kind of God is he? Then people also blame that your ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, when you are asked to how we can become member, how to become member, you have to follow the regulative principles in which no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex. So you are saying no illicit sex, but here your God Krishna is having relationship with so many women. He has 16,108 wives. So what kind of God is he? So people say that your Krishna is cheating God, he is duplicitous. He is not following his principles. But one has to see the truth from a higher perspective. So here, again, in this verse also, Krishna is teaching the principle of honesty or sincerity. He is teaching the principle of honesty. Just like he is teaching the principle of non-violence. So this is another principle. Honesty or satyam, truthfulness. One should be very truthful to himself and in front of God. Very truthful. So this sincerity or honesty is emphasized here. Why one has to follow this honesty? So he says, the prime swarth gati or the goal of self-interest is to reach Vishnu. What is the swarth gati? What is the swarth? What is the self-interest? What is the benefit to you is to reach Vishnu. And for that, what one has to understand? Honesty. Understand with sincere heart, honestly understand your status. Long time back, there used to be a song in the Hindi movies. Jhoot mat bolo, khuda ke paas jana hai. You heard this song? So, नहाती है ना घोड़ा है वहां पैदल ही जाना है. So there was a song like this. Here also something similar is there. What is the goal of self-interest? To reach Vishnu. So if you want to go to Vishnu, first thing is be very truthful and honest. And understand what is your status. That is something here focused. So in the beginning of this third chapter, Arjuna is confused. Arjuna is thinking, what should I do? Should I fight or should I just take sannyas and renounce everything and live a more peaceful life? I do not want to go to this fighting. This is too much anxiety, too much. Everybody takes to spiritual life for a platform of peace, for some experience of peace. But here Krishna is telling Arjuna, you go to this battlefield and you will experience the highest level of peace. Isn't it? If you want peace, and now you go and stand in some area like some heavy traffic like Muhammad Ali Road or somewhere you stand. And you say, okay, highest standard of peace. What peace you will get there? But here you are, Arjuna is told, you go to the battlefield. And in the battlefield, so many people are fighting and bloodshed is going on. And war is going on and people are being killed and violence is there. And Krishna is telling, if you want to experience peace, go and fight on that battlefield. So therefore, this Bhagavad Gita is very confusing in one sense. That first of all, he is teaching ahimsa, the whole Gita, and then he says, go and fight. Then he is teaching truthfulness, but by his behavior, it appears that he is not truthful. By his behavior, it appears he is a cheating God. He is a duplicitous God. Then he is telling you, come to spiritual life will give you peace. And where he is sending you? Go to the battlefield. So Krishna is a very confusing God. He speaks something and does something. He speaks something and expects something else. So one is confused. What kind of God Krishna is? Isn't it? He promises us, you come to me, I'll give you the highest level of peace. Man bana bhav mat bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. He is telling us, sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam raja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo. You surrender into me, I will take care of all sinful reactions. Arjuna is telling, sinful reactions? What kind of sin will I incur? I am going to kill so many soldiers. On that side, on this side, both will be killed. My grandfather, great-grandfather will be killed. My brothers will be killed. So much sin will come. What about that? So Krishna is telling, do not worry. I will take care of all sinful reaction. So Arjuna is thinking, what is this? You only wrote in the Shastras, what is the definition of sin? And now you are telling me to break all the laws. So at every time, this is a conflict between Shastras and Krishna. Shastras are telling something and Krishna is telling something. So therefore, Bhagavad Gita is a mystery. Bhagavad Gita is a mystery. It is called most confidential knowledge. Most confidential knowledge. Not everybody can understand Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is not something you sit and discuss in the local train with whatever comes in your mind. Bhagavad Gita is a science, is a mystery. So Prabhupada writes in one of the purports here. He says, yeah, this is a great art of doing work. Great art. You know art? You have to learn the art. Like this is an art here. Painting is there. So much art is there. All these carvings are there. This is an art. So this is an art of doing work. Not everybody can do. Similarly, Bhagavad Gita apparently is giving so many teachings, but one is confused. What is my goal of action? What is my goal of action? In second chapter, Krishna thought in 72 verses, I am going to finish this Gita. But Arjuna was completely confused. Therefore, if you see second chapter, it is named Contents of the Gita Summarized. He summarized the whole Gita. Finish. No more discussion. Arjuna said, wait. I didn't understood anything. You spoke so many things. So apparently there are some principles are given in Gita, but you are telling me to do something else. Then in second chapter he said, you cultivate Buddhi Yoga. So Buddhi Yoga means yoga which is done with Buddhi, isn't it? So where you apply Buddhi? In study. So if you have to study, why you are telling me to go to battlefield? So therefore the whole concept of Gita is confusing, apparently. So therefore Srila Prabhupada writes, this is a great art of doing work. It's an art one has to learn. And then Prabhupada says, in the beginning, this process requires very expert guidance. This process requires very expert guidance. If one tries to understand Bhagavad Gita with his own mind and intelligence, manorathenasati dhavato bahi. He's just hovering on mental platform. He does not know how to apply this science. Because Krishna writes something and does something. Krishna writes something and expects something else. So many apparently controversies. So one gets confused. What am I supposed to do in life? Isn't it? So therefore it says, this is a great art of doing work. In the beginning, this process requires very expert guidance. One should therefore act very diligently under the expert guidance of a devotee of Lord Krishna or under the direct instruction of Lord Krishna himself, under whom Arjuna had the opportunity to work. Like that. So therefore one has to understand this is a great art. So therefore this third chapter is clarifying that art, is clarifying how one should work very diligently, not under the whimsical desires of the mind. Mind says this is right, okay, do it. No, under expert guidance of a spiritual master. That is very important here. So we'll go further. So first thing is prime. So first one has to understand what is the goal. What is the goal? Goal of self-interest is to reach Vishnu. That is our goal. Right? The whole institution of Varna and Ashram is designed to help us reach this goal of life. So this is the next point. He says, so what is the prime swarth gati to reach Vishnu? This is the goal. So what is the process design? Isn't it? Just like somebody has to go to Pune or somebody has to go to Delhi. So one goes, there's a whole manual, you know, trains and flights manual is there. Which flight goes to this? Or somebody has to go much far, maybe to other country. There's no direct flight. So you have to do which flight you will take and go here and go there and a whole connecting flight. And how to get the cheapest fare and reach the destination. In the cheapest fare, reach the destination very comfortably. So similarly, everybody is searching for a comfortable life. Isn't it? We are all searching. Even if we come to spiritual life, we want to join that spiritual institution which is offering us a comfortable journey. Isn't it? You have to go to Los Angeles, you are searching for a comfortable flight. Because 24 hours or maybe 48 hours sometimes connecting flight, this and that. You need a flight where you can really sleep nicely, you can have a full stretch seat and all comforts, good food, good water, somebody to take care of, all care is available. If medically required, medical care is available. So you need to take care of all these things. And at the same time, you want to make sure I reach Los Angeles. Not that there's just comfort in the flight only. Then where am I going? I'm going to Africa. I didn't want to go to Africa. I wanted to go to Los Angeles. So first thing is prime swarth gati. One has to understand I have to go to Vishnu. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki jai. Shri Gopal ji ki jai. Shri Shri Nitai Gaur Chandra Bhagwan ki jai. So this is interesting that first is goal. And based on goal, our decisions are designed. So now, what is the journey? In this journey, back home, back to Godhead, to Vishnu, what is recommended? In this journey, what is the most comfortable path and which makes sure it will take us back home, back to Godhead, back to Vishnu, back to Krishna? So therefore, it is described. What is the system designed? The whole institution of Varna and Ashram is designed to help us reach this goal of life. So we have the system of Varna and Ashram. What is Varna and Ashram? There are four ashrams. Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. There are four Varnas. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. So this system is designed. There are four Varnas and four ashrams. And they are designed that how it can help one to go back to that goal, Vishnu. So one has to understand this science. As we discussed, Bhagavad Gita is a mystery. It's an art, but one can understand with the help of an expert spiritual master. So the expert acharyas, following the instructions of Krishna, have designed this wonderful system of Varnashram. What is this? What is this Varnashram? Varnashram is an institution where one can very systematically purify oneself by gradually fulfilling one's desire and at the same time purifying oneself for all the material contamination and go back home, back to Godhead. So it is described one has to go to spiritual one and has to be free from all material desires. But now we have so many desires, isn't it? Everybody has some desires. Everybody wants to fulfill certain desires. So Varnashram is a licensed system. A proper institution is made where you can fulfill your desire also and at the same time gradually purify yourself and go back to Vishnu. This goal of life. So what is the most important thing here in these verses which is mentioned? A householder can also reach this destination by regulated service in Krishna consciousness. So this is interesting. Sometimes this common misconception is there that if I have to give to spiritual life, if I have to practice spiritual life, do I have to renounce everything? Is it that those who have renounced everything, those who join temple full time, do full time service, only they can go back to Godhead? What is the facility for them? This question comes. So here it says, a householder can also reach this destination by regulated service in Krishna consciousness. For self-realization, what is the criteria? Criteria is not that one is a brahmachari or a brahman or a kshatriya or a grahastha or a vanaprast or a sannyasi. No. Varna and ashram is not the criteria. That is just an external facility. So what is the criteria for self-realization? For self-realization, one can live a controlled life as prescribed in the shastras. A controlled life as prescribed in the shastras. And second thing is, continue carrying out his business without attachment, and in that way make progress. So this is interesting. First thing is knowing the swarthagati. When we find Bhagavad Gita as a mystery, first thing we have to understand what is our gati. Second thing is, one has to understand this art by the help of a spiritual master, expert guidance. And then the next thing comes is, what is the system design? The system of Varnashram is designed. And then the next thing is, what is the criteria for self-realization? What is the criteria? Live a controlled life based on shastras and carrying out, the second thing is carrying out his business without attachment. This is another important point. Controlled life as prescribed in the shastras. The scriptures have given certain regulations that how one has to regulate one's enjoyment. Everybody wants to enjoy and satisfy his desires in the material world. The scriptures have given some regulations. And second thing is carrying out his business without attachment, and in that way make progress. And in doing this, what is the quality required? A sincere person who follows this method is far better than the false pretender who adopts show-bottle spiritualism to cheat the innocent public. A sincere sweeper in the street is far better than a charlatan meditator. So Prabhupada mentions that so many pseudo-meditators are there. Now we find in Kali Yuga there are so many institutions which are giving the science of meditation. You come to us, we teach you a science of meditation, and you live your life the way you want. There is no restriction to that. There is no control to that. There is no one to control your life, to control your senses. That is called as professional, Prabhupada uses the word, pseudo-meditators and the professional men. They have made a business out of it. But what is recommended here? Sincerity and honesty. Sincerity and honesty. There is no harm if somebody has too many desires to fulfill in this world. Just like you go to a doctor and you have a typhoid or a malaria or a tuberculosis or somebody has cancer or somebody has AIDS. If he goes to the doctor and the doctor says, so what is your disease? Oh, how can I tell you? I feel shy. How can I tell you? I don't want to tell you. Isn't it? Somebody says like that. It's stupid. You go to a doctor, you come on, open up, tell what is your disease. Isn't it? If you have tuberculosis and you are throwing out sputum all the time and cough and dirty, and you just don't want to go to the doctor, oh, what doctor will think? My body is so dirty from inside, so much mucus is coming out. Doctor knows, everybody's body is dirty. Only thing is, your dirt is coming out and somebody's dirt is not coming out. So what is the problem in telling? So therefore, oftentimes, when a person approaches a spiritual master, he is not expected to act on a duplicitous way. He is supposed to be very honest and sincere and reveal his heart. He is supposed to reveal his desires. Okay, here is my list of desires. Tad vidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. So the point is, one has to go with a submissive heart. Submissiveness means reveal your heart. Open up your heart. No duplicity, no external facade. Go and tell the spiritual master what is your status. Your heart is full of so many material desires. Go and tell Krishna. Krishna is standing there. Akama sarva kamava moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena. What is the verse? Jitte purusham param. Akama, you have no material desires. Sarva kamava, you have so many material desires. Moksha kama, you have desire of liberation. Anything you have. But if you approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His representative, what is such a soul is very magnanimous. Because he knows where to go. He will not go to any big powers of this material world. He will not take shelter of any big heroes of this world. He knows all the heroes are fallible. All the hero number ones are zero number ones. They are all useless in this world. So, he studies the Shastras and he understands whom to go. If I want to ask also, whom should I go to? I will not take shelter of any mundane things. Somebody who is in illusion, what he will do? Oh, let me go to this meditation group and this meditation group. Because they don't interfere in your life. But at the same time, they have nothing to offer. But it is said, somebody who is intelligence, who is a man of intelligence, he knows whom to go. Go to Krishna or his representative. Because they have a perfect system, how to purify your how to fulfill your desires in a way that you also purify your heart. Prabhupada mentions in the one of the verses here, the purpose of prescribed duties is to purify the hearts of materialistic men. So when the heart is tainted with so many material desires, one has to know whom to approach, Krishna and his representative, spiritual master. We have the example of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj had desire. He wanted, what he wanted? He wanted a kingdom greater than his great-grandfather Brahmaji. He said, I want that kingdom. So his mother said that your father will not give you this kingdom because he loves your stepmother more than he loves me. So you are not going to get anything. So mother said, Dhruva Maharaj was adamant. No, I want this. So what did his mother said? His mother said, you want to fulfill your desire? Whom you should go to? Go to Vishnu. Even if you have to fulfill your desire, go to Vishnu. Because he fulfills the desires of everyone. So this is very interesting. That sincerity and honesty. Not that you have so many desires and you are hiding and going to some outside, some professional meditators who are teaching you so-called yoga or meditation or so-called samadhi where you are always meditating or always thinking about the sense objects. No. What is he recommending? That go to Vishnu. And Dhruva Maharaj goes to Vishnu. He does austerity, he does tapasya, 6 months, he does severe austerities. I want a kingdom greater than my grandfather. Such a big kingdom is required, he wanted. He was determined. What happened in the process? Dhruva Maharaj, when he performed 6 months severe austerities, and after doing severe austerities, what happened? At the end of 6 months, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu himself came in front of him. He was standing right in front of him. He could not believe that Vishnu himself has come suddenly. He was completely dumbfounded. He didn't know what to speak. He didn't know what to pray. In fact, after achieving the darshan of Supreme Lord Vishnu, in fact, he was thinking, why the hell I desired those stupid things? Why I was thinking of those kingdom? And he is thinking that I was praying for broken pieces of glasses. And here I have got the supreme diamond, the crest jewel. Supreme Lord Vishnu is there right in front of me. He forgot all those desires. He said, I do not want anything. No kingdom, no wealth of this world. Nothing is required. So the point is that either somebody has a lot of desires or somebody has no desire. What one should do? Sincerely go to Vishnu. And founded a path by which he can achieve his prime swartha gati. Going to any other powers of this world will not help. But point is, go to Vishnu and sincerely submit yourself to the process. So here Arjuna has also come to Krishna. So Krishna is telling, you think you will go to the forest, you will renounce the whole world, you will renounce this whole battlefield, and you will go to the forest and do some sadhana, do some tapasya there. You live like a sadhu. But my dear Arjuna, you are a kshatriya. As a kshatriya, your heart is tainted with the modes of passion. For a kshatriya, it is very important to have a kingdom. For a very important to have some area to control. Very important to exhibit is Ishwar Bhava. To dominate an area, it is very important. So point is, even if you go to the forest, since your heart is not pure, you will not be able to live peacefully. You will not be able to live peacefully because your mind will always be disturbed. So therefore, honestly and with sincerity, understand that your heart is contaminated with so many desires. Your heart is contaminated by the modes. Your heart is contaminated by Rajaguna, mode of passion, or the lower modes. Your heart is still not in the mode of goodness that you can do and do, live like a sadhu in the forest, tapasya, completely away from family life, renouncing all the pleasures, all the opulence, everything. No, you cannot live like that. Isn't it? So one has to understand. So here, coming to Vishnu means, coming to Vishnu's representative spiritual master means, he is teaching the right process. He doesn't teach a false process. He doesn't say, okay, sit down. Now I will teach you how to meditate. Sit down in the, you know, Padmasana or some asana and then close your eyes and now try to vacate all the thoughts from your mind. This is all nonsense. Prabhupada writes, great professional men and pseudo meditators. They are trying to teach meditation. But till the time heart is contaminated by material desires, how can one meditate? If one picks up his mala and start chanting, like, you know, yesterday this somebody was telling, you know, he said one boy came. He came, a new boy. We told him, okay, the dharma, yuga dharma for this Kali Yuga is chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Naam, Hare Naam, Hare Naam, Eva Kevalam, Kalav, Nasteva, 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 Gatir Annatha. In Kali Yuga, the best process for self-realization is chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. So this boy got very excited. Somebody was telling this story. He didn't come yesterday, but this happened a few days back. Very excited. Oh, chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Very nice. He gave up everything, you know. He came out of his family, sat here. Okay, I will chant Hare Krishna now. He picked up mala and he says, okay, now today, whole day, I will sit here and chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. He tried doing that chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Ram Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Chanted one mala, two mala, three mala, 16 rounds, 20 rounds, 25 rounds, so many rounds. Very excited. Hare Naam, Hare Naam, Hare Naam, Evi Kevalam. And after that, he was never seen. He never came back to temple. So the point is, one cannot imitate higher platform till one's heart is purified. Dhruv Maharaj was contaminated with the desire, I want the kingdom. So his mother, and later on his spiritual master, Narad Muni said, you are so determined, so attached to the kingdom. Okay, go. But go to whom? Go to Vishnu. Because ultimately, you will get kingdom, but also you will get Vishnu. So they did not discourage. But they provided a system. How you can purify your desires and at the same time get the ultimate goal, Supreme Lord Vishnu. Similarly, this process is given. Hare Naam, Hare Naam, Eva Kevalam. Yes, the process is Hare Naam Kevalam. But we cannot do Hare Naam Kevalam because we want many other things in life. We do not just want Hare Naam Kevalam. This is too little. We want much more. So many material desires are there. So therefore, a system is there. Then how one acts in a way that he purifies his desire and at the same time develop attachment to Krishna. And when that attachment is developed, then one can chant as much as he wants. Similarly here, Arjuna is telling, I want to live like a sadhu. Just absorb in the Supreme Lord. But no, you are tainted by the modes of passion. You want to fight. If you will not fight here, you will go in the fight with the animals in the forest. Because your nature is to fight. Your nature is to fight. So better fight the way I am telling you. Fight the way I am telling you. Fight for the sake of dharma. Fight for the sake of fulfilling my desires. Fight as my instrument. So this is very interesting point here. So he says, yastu indriyani manasa niyam arabhate Arjuna. It is a sincere person is glorified here. What does a sincere person do? The previous verse was telling a false pretender, a mithyachari, a dhokebaj, who is trying to cheat himself and cheat others. He is pretending that, oh, I am a sadhu, I have renounced everything, I have picked up my mala, I will just chant, I will not do any bad activities. So, but his heart is tainted. He has renounced, he is acting like renounced everything, but his mind is always contemplating on sense objects. He's chanting with his mala, but his mind is always thinking, when will the next meal come? When will I get my next plate of prasad? I am so hungry. So much contemplation is there. So he is not pure. So therefore, one has to take shelter of spiritual master and understand how to purify himself very honestly, very sincerely. So previous verse is telling about false pretender, a mithyachari. One who cheats others. Cheaters. He says, karmendriyani samyamya yasate manasasmaran. Karmendriyani, one who restrains the senses of action. He shuts his eyes, shuts his ears and sits down and tries to meditate. Karmendriyani samyamya samyamya, he restrains, controls. Yasate manasasmaran, but the mind is thinking always of how to enjoy this world, how to fulfill my desires. Externally he's acting like a sadhu, but internally mind is thinking how to fulfill my desires. Yasate manasasmaran, indriyarthan vimudhatma, manasasmaran. Man is doing smaran on what? Indriyarthan. Earth, on the sense objects. How will I acquire sense objects? Vimudhatma, such a person is called as vimuda. Fool number one. Mithyacharasa uchyate, is called as mithyachari. So therefore, we do not want to act as mithyachari. A patient who goes to the doctor very sincerely tells, oh, this is my disease. If he asks, you know, oh, you have a, like, somebody has, you know, like infection in the stomach. He's vomiting and diarrhea and dysentery and he is severely suffering. A doctor goes and doctor asks him, so what did you eat yesterday? He says, no, I did not eat anything. I did not eat anything. Sure, I am really telling I did not eat anything. Then how it happened? You must have eaten something wrong. Doctor says something and the patient doesn't want to tell, you know, because he knows if I tell what I eat, I was not supposed to eat and now I have fallen sick. So if he is hiding himself, then similarly this person, karmendriyani samyamya, externally is posing that, oh, I am pure, I am completely pure, but internally his mind is contaminated, he is meditating on sense objects. So how will doctor treat him? So this is mithyachari, cheater. But the next verse is, yastu indriyani manasa niyam arabhate arjuna, niyam arabhate. He very honestly and sincerely accepts, this is my disease. My mind is full of so many desires. So, niyam arabhate, he begins to control by systematically practicing the prescribed duties given by the spiritual authority. He systematically tries to control. Yastu indriyani manasa, by the mind he controls the senses. Niyam arabhate arjuna, karmendriya karmiyogam. In karmendriya, these senses are so active, senses want some activity. Like Arjuna, senses wanted some activity. I want to fight. Passion is there. I want to fight. Oh, you want to fight? Okay, fight for me. Karmiyogam, whatever you want to do, do it for me. You want to fight for me. Yat karoshi, yad ashnasi, yad juhoshi, dadasi, yad tapasyasi, kaunteya, tat kurushva, madarpanam. You want to eat? Do not eat anything and everything. First cook and offer to me. And then my prasad you honor. Yad ashnasi, yad karoshi, whatever you want to do, do it for my pleasure. Isn't it? You want to do some business? Use the results of business for my pleasure. You want to talk? Talk about me. You want to discuss? Discuss my scriptures. Yat karoshi, yat ashnasi, yat juhoshi, tadasi yat. You want to give charity? People are interested in giving charity. Give charity for the pleasure of Krishna, for preaching the science of Bhagavad Gita, preaching Srimad Bhagavatam. Give charity. Yat tapasyasi Kaunteya. You want to do austerities. People are very fond of doing tapasya. This fast and that fast and this tapasya. Do tapasya for my pleasure. So this thing is mentioned. Madarpanam, surrender all the activities to my pleasure. So here, therefore it is telling, karmendriyani karmiyogam asaktah sa vishishyate. So therefore this system is there, this science is there. They live a controlled life. Try to control your desires. And second thing is, carry out your business without attachment. And that way you make progress on self-realization. But no cheating is required. One should not cheat. One should not be hypocrite. One should not act like a sadhu. On the other side, mind is contaminated. No. You can purify your mind. You can purify your heart. You can purify your desires. Provided you submit to a spiritual authority and follow the given procedures. Prescribed duties. So like that, this verse is there. And then text 8. We already discussed many points, but just to read that. And therefore he says, Niyatam kuru karmatvam karma jayohiya karmana sharira yatra pichate na prasiddheda karmana. Perform your prescribed duties, for doing so is better than not working. One cannot even maintain one's physical body without work. This is the next point, that one cannot even maintain one's physical body without work. Isn't it? Just to maintain physical body also one has to work. So one cannot maintain that. So Prabhupada mentions there, there are many pseudo-meditators and great professional men who falsely pose that they have sacrificed everything for the sake of advancement. Lord Krishna did not want Arjuna to become a pretender. He is not telling Arjuna, you go to the forest and live like a sadhu. You cannot, because your heart is contaminated. So therefore, understand how I am teaching you to work, so that you can purify yourself. Rather, the Lord desired that Arjuna perform his prescribed duties as set forth for Kshatriyas. Arjuna was a householder and a military general, and therefore it was better for him to remain as such and perform his religious duties as prescribed for the householder Kshatriya. Such activities gradually cleanse the heart of a mundane man and free him from material contamination. So-called renunciation for the purpose of maintenance is never approved by the Lord, nor by any religious scripture. After all, one has to maintain one's body and soul together by some work. Work should not be given up capriciously without purification of materialistic propensities. Anyone who is in the material world is certainly possessed of the impure propensity for lording it over material nature, or in other words, for sense gratification. Such polluted propensities have to be cleared. Without doing so through prescribed duties, one should never attempt to become a so-called transcendentalist, renouncing work and living at the cost of others. So this is interesting. For every varna and ashram, some prescribed duties there. For Brahmana duties there, Patan, Patan, Yajan, Yajan, Dana, Pratigraha. He accepts charity, he gives charity. He studies scriptures, he teaches scriptures. Then he performs yajnas, he teaches how to perform yajnas. So like that, certain duties are there. For Kshatriya also duties are there. So Kshatriya, he has to protect the weaker masses. He has to engage in the apparent diplomatic affairs, political affairs. He doesn't want to do that. He feels it's too contaminating. Isn't it? So, apparently it appears that a businessman, he has to engage in business. Isn't it? So, one may think that, oh, business, so much contamination there. So much money dealings are involved, and we have to tell lies sometimes, and we have to cheat others. So much contamination is there. For a Shudra or somebody who is serving a master, problem is that he always complaining. I have to serve my master. Why should I serve my boss the way he wants? He's always complaining about that. So whatever you do, there is some problem. But the point is, if one sticks to his prescribed duty, If one sticks to the duties given in Shastras, what happens? It purifies the heart. If they are done under the guidance of an expert spiritual master, it purifies the heart. But if one gives up this duty and thinks that, oh, I will go and sit in the temple of Vishnu and just chant his holy name all the time, and which is very good, which is the goal. But one cannot do that. One has to purify himself. So certain duties are prescribed. So therefore, these two verses are basically focusing on a sincere aspirant who is sincerely aspiring for self-realization. He is not a cheater or a pretender, but he sincerely takes shelter of the spiritual master and learns this art of doing work. How to purify the heart, which is full of so many material desires. Like that. Hare Krishna. Any one question anybody has? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. So far as chanting is concerned, those who are chanting 20 rounds, 5 rounds, 10 rounds, I want to know that suppose some person chants one round. If that one round he chants properly and sincerely, then that is equivalent to that 20 rounds, or someone chanting more rounds but he's thinking some other things, is that right?
The most important is your sincerity that is there. So sincerity means quality and quantity, both ways, isn't it? Just like a patient is given some medicine, so a sincere patient follows the wholesome thing. What is the diet? What is the medicine? How much is the quality? How much is the quantity? So a patient follows the quality of life, that okay, how much I should take a rest, how much I should eat, what should I eat, and quantity, how much medicine should I take, 3 times a day and like that. Similarly, in chanting also it's like a medicine for purifying the heart. So therefore certain quota is given. It is described that one should chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra every day. That much medicine is prescribed. This much is required every day, which is recommended by acharyas. So that much should be done. The only thing is, if somebody is not doing that, then one can slowly come to that level. Slowly take. Now somebody is chanting one round, very good. So then gradually one increases to 4 rounds, gradually 8 rounds, 12 rounds, and then 16 rounds. But 16 rounds is the minimum quota prescribed for everyone to steadily progress on this path of self-realization, like that. Sincerity means quality and quantity. So Prabhupada says, live a controlled life. So following the chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra and also following the principles. Principles of controlling the senses. No gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex. Like that. Does that answer your question? Yeah. And then one can affinity chant as much as... But minimum is prescribed, 16 rounds. Then you can chant 20, 25, that's okay. Provided it does not hamper your duties. Like that.
Prabhuji, how to do work like without being attached to the result? Like if you are not attached to the result, then you may think that like I'm doing something and I'm doing bhakti also, so whatever be the outcome of that thing, so it doesn't matter to me. So then in that case you might be thinking that okay, it's okay if even if it doesn't happen. So in that case would it be that you're not doing your the thing perfectly?
Yeah, many people have this problem because the whole life we have been trained to work based on ambition. And now suddenly you see there is no ambition. So why should I work, first of all? That's your question, no? Why should I work? I will have no desire to work. And same problem Arjuna is facing. You took away my motivation only. He himself has no motivation. He said, I do not want kingdom. Why you are telling me to fight? I do not want this kingdom. You keep this with you. I am going to the forest. He says, no, work. You understood? So same problem Arjuna is facing. So it's not a new problem. Everybody facing this problem. There is no ambition. In second chapter he is telling, Sukhe dukhe same kritva labha labho jaya jayo. You be equipoised in happiness, distress, jaya jayo, victory or defeat, profit or gain. Just you fight for the sake of fighting. Now this is a new concept somebody is learning in life, that fight for the sake of fighting, work for the sake of work. Doesn't make sense. Somebody works for money, for prestige, for fame, something. Now work for the sake of working, what is that? So therefore, one has to understand things based on shastras. The whole concept is that work gives reaction. For any good work you do, you get a good reaction. For bad work, you get bad reaction. But we want to get out of the cycle of reaction. We want to get out of the cycle of birth and death. You understand? So that, if we want to get out of this cycle, this means we want a stage where there is no reaction. So when you are working based on certain motivation, you are working for happiness, you get happiness. You're working for victory, you get victory. So this means there is some reaction because you had some desire. But we are not working based on some desire. What is the purpose of prescribed duties? One has to memorize that. Purpose of prescribed duties is to purify the hearts of materialistic men. Prabhupada writes in 3.4 this line. Purify the hearts of materialistic men. So Arjuna is told, do not work for victory or defeat, because material world is always miserable. Even if you are victorious, you will be miserable, and if you are loser, you will be miserable. That is not the motivation. Why you should fight? Because this fighting is a prescribed duty for a Kshatriya. So you have to purify your heart. What is the problem with your heart? The heart of a conditioned soul has a desire to lord over, to control. Isn't it? Everybody wants to control others, dominate, sense gratification. That is the problem. So how to purify that desire? So certain prescribed duties are given. So first thing is doing prescribed duties as they are given for your varna or ashram. If you are a brahmachari, grahastha, vanprastha, sannyasi, some duties are there. If you are a varna, some kshatriya, brahman, vaishya, shudra, some duties are there. Do those duties. Just because they are told in shastras. That is first thing. And second thing is, but then somebody may say, but I have no motivation, because for whom should I do? So that tomorrow's verse will discuss that. Not tomorrow's, one day we are discussing. 3.9. So for whom you should work? Yagyarthat karmano anyatra lokoyam karma bandhana. Work for the pleasure of Vishnu. So that goes to a higher level. Till now, same problem Arjuna is having. That why should I work if there is no motivation? Kiske liye kaam karne ka? You are saying not be attached to the fruits. Then for what? Person works for fruits, for money, for something. But here, no, there is nothing to see in front of you. So he says, work for the sake of fighting, because that will purify your heart. So what is the meaning of sake of work? Do as per told in shastras. Since your heart is impure, certain medicine is given. If you have tuberculosis, this antibiotic is given. If you have typhoid, this medicine is given. If you have malaria, this medicine is given. Similarly, everybody is diseased. Everybody is diseased. So depending on the disease, certain duty is given. By doing that duty, you purify the heart. And the second thing is, do that for the pleasure of Krishna. Because Krishna wants that. So we discuss that more in the Monday's class. Okay, I think we should end now. It's quite late. If anybody has, personally we can discuss. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Jai Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki, Jai.